gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, welcome to Comic Book Club. A bunch of guys come in here and they're talking about comic books and stuff. So, here's your host, Pete LePage, Alex Alvin, and hopefully Justin Tyler.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
Justin is dead set on getting here on time, so we'll see what happens. But thank you to Kenny Cords, our announcer.
Yeah, Kenny Cords.
Oh, my goodness.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug Kenny. Kenny Farmer Art, right? At Kenny Farmer Art. He's an artist. He's good, and he does the announcements and comes to our shows.
Yeah. Is there a reason you're mentioning this in particular?
No, Pete? Just because he's a friend of the show.
Oh, yeah. All right. Great. So good to hear it. That's exciting. Actually, this is the part of the show right at the top. We like to go around and get everybody's Twitter addresses for no reason.
No reason whatsoever.
We're not collecting data. We're not trying to mine your data. We're not trying to rip your credit cards or anything like that. Are you checking your phone now? What is going on with you?
Justin just texted.
Oh, what did he have to say?
He said, so close. Justin is so close right now.
Is he, like, close to here, or is he almost orgasming?
That's a good question. You never know with him. It's either way.
You could probably tell, actually, that we're riffing right now. This is because we had this really intricate, well-worked-out bit, but it all depended on Justin.
Yeah, and we need all three for the opening bit.
Right, for the dance.
Yeah, exactly, the dance number.
Yeah, who's going to catch us?
Yeah, exactly, if Justin's not here.
Do you know who's going to catch us? Our two amazing guests that we have on the show today. I'm very excited to have them both here. Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Swifty Lane and Chris Capidia!
Yeah, welcome to the show, guys. Please, just have a seat.
Come on up.
Thank you so much for being there. Yeah. Share a table.
Thank you. Guys, squeeze on in.
Yeah, welcome.
Very excited to have you guys here. And I have to apologize for Justin. He is the rudest person I've ever met in my entire life. But we're very excited to have you. Chris, you're sitting closest to me, so why don't we chat about your book first?
Yes.
Yeah, it helps when you talk into the microphone.
There you go.
Swifty, so pick up yours. There you go. Second issue coming out from Monkey Brain.
Monkey Brain tomorrow, digital exclusive, monkeybraincomics.com. Behemoth is, I don't know, should I pitch elevator?
Yeah, go for it.
Behemoth is about a bunch of big things. Children turning into monsters, being forced into an internment camp, and then further forced to work as sort of monster soldiers for the government. And so it's about we follow one character in particular as she's transforming from human into monster and trying to retain her humanity as best she can.
So do you have kids of your own?
No.
Ah, okay. I was getting a sense of maybe where the idea came from, but so we've talked to a bunch of people who have worked with Monkey Brain Comics over the years. I think actually mostly before it launched and when it first started.
Yeah.
What's it like working with them now?
It's fantastic.
I didn't expect you to say it's bad.
Don't tell anybody. But no, my co-creator, J.K. Woodward, has known Chris Roberson, who's the guy in charge of Monkey Brain, for a long time. So we had been working on this book for a couple years, and when Monkey Brain sort of announced its existence, we wanted to go to them and sort of asked, and they said, great. But then the actual production of the book took a bit longer, so it only started coming out. Our first issue came out in April. And it's been great. Chris has been really supportive and has really said positive things about the book. I'm a bit of a digital futurist, so I think it's kind of exciting to, you know, have the comic being published digitally, and so it's been fantastic.
So this is how old this podcast / show is, but right. I remember very specifically us being like, digital comics, that's new.
Will it last? Will it happen?
We said,
yeah. I am definitely a convert, because at first I was like, no, who would want to do that? You know, you want to feel the paper. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? You want to risk paper cuts. But
so a couple of years down the road, I think everybody is pretty comfortable with digital comics. To be honest, I read 90% of my comics, if not more, on my iPad. So what are you playing
Humble
around
bread.
With now? How are you pushing it forward? How are you changing the art medium with Behemoth in particular?
I will say that Behemoth was written initially as a digital publication, rather as a print publication. So I haven't been taking advantage. Neither JK or I have been taking advantage of the possibilities to do it with.
I'm sorry. Somebody is storming the stage. This is really uncomfortable and awkward.
This show is ridiculous. Yeah. I'm here as a spoiler.
This is Justin Tyler, everybody. He's our co-host, and when he gets around to it, he shows up for us.
You know, yeah! It takes. It's summer. Everyone's taking it easy on the roads.
Yeah, not to interrupt, Chris. No, are you ready for the dance routine now?
Sure, yeah. I'm out of breath fully, so let's start right now. Wait, this is something you
we'll
guys
move the tables?
Yeah, yeah. We all worked it out all together.
Great. Yep. I'm sure I can fill it in. Yeah. I can keep up with Pete. Wait, my pick didn't make the stack?
What?
All right.
Your pick did make the stack.
Yeah, okay. Your pick did make the stack.
If you have it on you, and
just showed up.
Yeah, whip it out, man.
I hear that a lot. Let's move on and get back to Chris.
Yeah, please.
No, this is way more interesting.
No. Chris came all the way here on time.
No. This is way more interesting.
Hello, gentlemen.
So you were talking about how you're pushing stuff forward.
Yeah, I have to admit, this project was conceived as a print book, so we haven't done that much in terms of taking advantage of the digital medium specifically. But one thing that that appealed to the artist, to JK, about the idea, because we are following one character and her perception is changing over the course of the series, he is, part of the subjectivity of her perception is mirrored in the art of the book a little bit.
Oh, cool.
But that's also the kind of thing that we'd probably be doing in print as well. So I have to admit, digital futurist as I might be, I haven't really...
One of the big differences I found between print and digital is it's way harder to burn digital. Mm. Like, it's still possible.
Yeah. It's expensive.
It's crazy.
But worth it.
Yeah,
but
totally worth it. Because when you want to destroy... How many comic books are you burning? What is this, a new... ever since that Secret War tirade you had, you've been into burning shit.
Yeah.
You're at a breaking point.
I would like to get back to his idea a little bit here.
I'd really rather not.
What I really like about this is, like... because it's very much like when you're growing older, your values change and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, how fucked up shit would get if you're turning into a monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how, like, if at first you're going to be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to stay human. I'm going to stay true to my, I won't kill people. I won't use them as food. But after a while, you got to be like, fuck all these people. I'm going to kill them all, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you get hangry.
Yeah. Well, not only do you get hangry, but you have people telling you, like, boy, you're a monster. Boy, are you scary. And you start internalizing that.
Yeah, yeah.
And thematically, a lot of it does have to do with the difference between what you want to be versus what the world outside is trying to force you to be.
That's cool. That's crazy.
Jesus
Christ.
That's how you must feel.
I've been listening to the podcast, and I think that's the first time the word, like, theme has come up.
We're very light in our linguistic.
What does journalistic mean?
That's like, when you write in your diary?
Yeah.
It's like that, but you show people.
Oh, wow. No.
Huh?
I don't like that. All right, let's... do you prefer Jonathan or Swifty?
Swifty's fine.
Use the microphone.
Is this one working?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready to rock.
So Swifty is okay?
Yeah, Swifty's
great.
Fine.
That's all the questions that we had. Thanks so much for coming on.
No, come on. He's got an amazing project to talk about.
Where'd that nickname come from? Or is it a real name?
It's actually a college nickname. I named myself.
A lot of people can do that.
That's a bold thing for you. It usually doesn't stick, but it stuck for over 20 years. And I took it from Swifty Lazar, who was Bogey's agent. And he actually hated the name. But I thought it was a cool name. So it sounded like a gangster from the 20s, Not that I am a gangster from the 20s, but maybe I am.
So you took it out of you saw someone that hated their nickname and you were like, I'll take that.
Well, I heard it in a film class. I was like, that's a really cool name.
Yeah.
So
you had a similar thing though, right? You demanded that everybody call you Adolf Hitler?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It seemed like
it wasn't Adolf Hitler. It was JT Sizzle. Similar. Yeah. It was similar.
Similar historical.
But you made
footprint.
Us all use that, which
What's
was annoying.
What's also similar Plunder, the book that you're working on. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be more than happy to.
Great.
So the premise is relatively simple. It's some Somali pirates. They're being pursued. They end up boarding a vessel that is infested with an alien life form. So that's the premise, essentially. But what it's really about, which is something I've touched on with my other book, Feeding Ground, is about survival and essentially what people are willing to do in order to survive. Something I really like to do is take people who are normally considered antagonists in our culture, and by kind of instilling them in really terrifying situations, we can then sympathize with these characters and at least try to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but in the beginning when you were telling us about it, I was like, yeah, fuck these pirates. But then after listening to what you're saying, I'm like, oh, this is very
interesting. They're people.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. They're just people being pirates.
Yeah, so just, it's a lot of the pirates as they are now, a lot of them used to be fishermen. And what happened is the bay actually was incredibly overfished by illegal fishing vessels. There's been toxic dumping. And a lot of the piracy was the result of people being forced out of their professions.
Oh, wow.
So obviously they're not all good pirates, but there is a drive to kind of what led them to take on, to pick up the muskets.
Did you find
what have you?
Did you find yourself rooting against Tom Hanks in the Somali pirate movie he was
you
in?
You know, I actually thought that was a pretty good movie, but I did not root against Tom Hanks.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, how can you root against Tom Hanks?
It's illegal. Well, this is,
except for Forrest Gump.
This takes
place. Hey, you watch
that movie is bullshit.
No, fuck you.
He
fuck
can't
you.
Be that fast.
Come on.
He's not that fast.
Why?
Because it's impossible.
It is
also
impossible.
How could he not know to stop?
If he wasn't that fast, why did they call him Swifty?
Ooh. Ah, that's a fair point. That's another great Swifty in our history.
let's rank all the Swifties that we know.
Yep, well, there's
that. Taylor
let's
Swiftie.
Rank all the Hitlers that we know.
Just so the downside of the Swifty nickname is I actually, or I don't know if it's actually a downside, I'm being followed by a number of Taylor Swift fans.
That's from an upside, what I've
learned,
dude.
Well, I've learned that Swifties are actually part of the Taylor Swift fan camp. So if you're out there, Swifties, I'm listening.
Incorporate it into the work. There's no reason that Somali pirates can't be Swifty fans, Swift fans, or have Taylor Swift show up in a cameo or some sort.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just real quick, can you sing just a couple of bars of Shake It Off? Just like a couple of bars.
16
bars.
No, I wouldn't do it either. That's a smart move. It's a smart move.
Karaoke sometime, I could rock a mean George Michael, but Taylor Swift is just not in my range. So
your tastes are all over the map, my friend.
All over the map.
Plunder drop, or has it already? Where can we work?
So issue 3 is currently out, and the conclusion of the 4-issue miniseries is coming out next Wednesday.
Nice.
So be ready.
And will there be a collection?
There will be a collection. From what I gather, it's going to come out sometime in 2016.
All right.
But that has not been slated yet. I trust Arkea. They always have made good publishing decisions, so we'll see.
And Feeding Ground, by the way, was amazing. It's really
thank you. Thank you.
It's a great one.
What's the give and take like between Arkea and Oni Press? I don't know how much you're into that, but is there any sort of back and forth, or do you just get direction directly from Arkea?
I'm working mostly with Arkea and editorial there. You know, I actually was one of the last books that Rebecca Taylor did before she went over to DC. She had a chance to read all 4 of the issues, and she's just amazing. So
cool.
I'm glad she's
cool. So they're not like put Finn and Jake in there or anything like that.
No Finn and Jake, but they're always welcome. They're a great addition.
That's great.
We have
some really good ideas for your book so far. Yeah. Taylor Swift,
Finn and Jake.
Yeah. A lot of great lazy pop culture. Is it where like
Tom Hanks or whatever?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about having George Clooney in it? I don't know. I'm an idiot.
Cool. Where can people find out more about this book?
So the best way to find out about it is, I would say, go down to your local comic shop and pick up issue 3 and buy it and enjoy it, and then wait for issue 4 the following week. Otherwise, otherwise,
very specific advice.
Yes, yes. Otherwise, I would say there have been some really, really strong reviews on. Was it CBR maybe who gave a strong one? Just do some Google searching. It's the reviews have been pretty good so far. So.
Cool.
Awesome. That's awesome.
All right, cool. We'll definitely check it out. And now it's time for our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And in the stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that you particularly liked and go to bat for. Let's kick it off with Pete's pick, which was Thor number 8.
Yeah.
From Marvel Comics.
Pete's pick.
That's right.
Pete's pick. I would not have guessed that.
Yeah.
No?
Now this came
because it came out 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, because you're not supposed to do that.
Right, but I'm pulling a Zelbin.
That's why I was.
I really wish that wasn't called Pulling His Albin.
Well, it's called Pulling His Albin.
What is Pulling His Albin?
Don't
these
pull
days?
Me.
Pulling His Albin means that you don't get to abide by the rules that we establish as a group.
In society.
Yeah, yeah. So
a lot of people might think that's what pulling a Pete is.
Nope.
That's not understanding the rules. So.
There's a difference. A difference. And then getting angry about it.
And then pulling a Justin is just being above the rules, right? That's what I intended.
That's certainly what you imply most of the time.
Yeah.
We hate each other.
Yeah, we're friends.
So this comic I thought was huge to talk about. We get the reveal of who the Thor actually...
Can I give a little background
first? Sure, please.
Sure. So if you haven't been reading Marvel's current run of Thor, Thor the Dude was replaced by Thor the Lady, who is still called Thor. She has all the powers of Thor and in some ways actually is more powerful or at least more inventive. It's been a wonderful story, but there's also been this mystery behind it of who is behind this mask, who is this new Thor. And finally, this issue, as Pete said, we find out who it is. If you don't want to know who it is, I guess earmuffs now. But Pete, you want to talk about that reveal a little bit?
Well, I wanted to kind of talk about the issue. What I really liked was it's a different Thor. And at first, in Change, it's like, oh, fuck this. Why do they just change the sex to try to sell more comics? But I really like where this comic is going. Like, I really liked this new Thor and the way... I find it so much better now. And the last Thor was amazing. I mean, Jason Aaron was killing it.
Still is,
but it's just like, it's very refreshing in a kind of way that I wasn't expecting. And then the reveal made it all the better.
What did you think about this book?
I love it. I think this book is great. The thing I like about the new female Thor, or Thor as she's called, is that it's like she's acting like what she thinks Thor is, but at the same time you get access to what she's thinking and fucked that up, and she like doesn't catch the hammer or something like that.
But one of the if I'm getting it right from having read the arc, that it's almost as if the hammer gives her the ability to speak like a jackass.
I think
I think is a great fun wrinkle, because once you find out who the person is, they have no reason to speak like an ancient Asgardian god. But I think that's such a fun character element that makes the hammer a bigger part of what that identity is.
And it gives a whole other layer of what Thor is, which is great. Because I feel like what's great about this arc is Jason Aaron isn't like, hey, she's a girl, so she has to do girl stuff. It's the layer, the added layer is about being something that, like, to reveal it, it's Jane Foster, who is... has horrible cancer, so she's her body's falling apart. She refuses magical treatment, while at the same time she is out there being a hero as Thor. It's just really great reveal and great story arc.
And the other thing that's cool about it is, like we've been touching on, Jason Aaron, when he's writing it, it's all about the character, and it comes out of the character. For those of you who don't know, originally Thor as a comic book character started with Dr. Donald Blake, who was a lame doctor. Like, he couldn't walk properly.
He was super lame.
He was super lame. And he got the power of Thor. What she's saying at the end of the issue is that Thor needs to have an element of being mortal about him. And for years, Thor has just been Thor, and that's it. Right. So Jane Foster, who was in the very first issue of Thor absolutely ever, is bringing it back to basics in a certain way. And it's really, really cool. I also wanted to mention Russell Dodder, who does the art, is so good. It's superb. It reminds me a little bit of Olivier Coipel, or however you pronounce his name.
Very jauntily said.
Oh.
Little French man on the pod.
But with his own style, and it's awesome.
Une baguette.
Hey, I'm glad we talked about this issue.
Great. And don't pat yourself on the back yet there, LePage.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Guy Pete. Guy Justin, do you want to talk about your pick?
Sure. My pick is the latest issue of Moon Knight.
Moon Knight
has moved through a couple different writers lately. Now we're on to Cullen Bunn, who's doing... This is like one of the only Marvel comics that came out this week that was not part of Secret Wars, which was refreshing. Not that I don't like Secret Wars. I'm not a fucking Zalbin.
God damn it.
But it was nice to see just more good storytelling. And this issue was great. Moon Knight's sort of arguing with Khonshu, the moon god. Like, hey, Khonshu, I was fighting crime back there, and you totally bailed on me? And he's like, hey, I told you not to mess with that dude. And we get a great reveal at the end. He's fighting this monster that's terrorizing children from under the bed.
Oh,
and
there's a classic great story.
Moon Knight is like...
So it's kind of like Little Monsters.
Yeah, it's a lot like Little Monsters, the movie that
maybe
one person in the world would ever have
seen. A little bit more brutal.
Yeah. Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. Who's seen Little Monsters in this audience? Thank you. Two people raised their hand.
Two very proud people raised their hand. Great.
There you go.
Great movie.
Now, who's read the novelization three times like I have?
Yeah. Fred Savage?
Fred Savage.
Primetime Savage.
Yeah, we have a lot of connections, that guy would be.
So anyway, Moon Knight...
Wait, to update the reference... Monsters, Inc. also, I think.
Well, just because there's monsters under a bed doesn't mean they're all the same movie.
Okay. There's also Legends. That's also about Monsters,
Inc. That makes more sense.
Okay, thank you.
Khonshu's like, don't fight this guy. He's like a friend of mine. And Moon Knight's like, I don't give a shit. So he gives up all his Moon Knight powers and gets a bunch of guns. Pete, you would love this issue. Shoots this monster under the bed and beats him. And just as the monster's dying, he says, Khonshu, why have you forsaken me? So Khonshu was back in this monster, too, killing children.
Wow.
Very cool issue.
Here's my problem. Khonshu is a ridiculous name.
That's your problem?
We've been reading comics for years. There are ridiculous names all over the place.
Well, I look forward to hearing your pick and what regular names
are. Didn't Let's bother you with Thor, one,
shall
with
we?
Wait, Mjolnir.
Yeah. Yeah. Mjolnir.
That's also sort of ridiculous.
Khonshu sounds like somebody's sneezing every time I read it. Khonshu.
He's a regular. Gods have weird names.
And we can all relate to Khonshu.
If his name was Joe, the moon guy, it'd be like, I don't respect this guy.
Right. I don't know, but I'd hang out with him.
I like
Doesn't make sense.
That's the kind of god I want to get a beer with.
Cool. Wow. What, Republican. Have you guys been reading Moon Knight at all?
I read the Warren Ellis run, but I read the trade of it, and it just blew me away.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just incredible storytelling.
So great.
It's very good. And
can we move on to my pick? This is
I want to talk about this comic
book, because this is a real man's comic book with regular names.
Hold on a second. Well, you know what? I guess you had some great criticism of my pick, because you did say, I don't like that name. So I guess we've satisfied the audience.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if you had showed up on time and let us read the comic book, maybe I'd have some more
criticism. Hey, why don't you read comic books like a regular guy?
Oh, here we go. All right. Here's a nice, normal American comic book with American names. Mad Max, Fury Road, Nux, and a Morton Hunt Joe.
Wait. Chris, did you have something to say about Moon Knight?
I actually do.
Yes! In your face. Pick retracted. We'll see if we have time for it.
Moon Knight is, like, my favorite character, and it's been, like, heartbreaking over the past however many years to see, like, series come and go and be of varying quality.
Yeah.
And this this run has been amazing. And I recently went back and did read the Warren Ellis and the Brian Wood runs.
Yeah.
And they're all one-and-done stories, but the way they add up together cumulatively is pretty amazing.
It's very
it's
cool.
It's a really unique book. And,
one of the most innovative.
Khonshu is a silly name.
Bless
but but I just think it's a fantastic book. And it's finally somebody's, like, using elements of the character that I think have been sorely underused in many of the runs previous.
At least his name's not Khonshu.
Sure.
That's spoiler for the next issue.
At least it's not Adolf Hitler, I guess.
But what I also like about the reveal at the end is the fact that, like, that could be Moon Knight underneath that bed. You know what I mean? Like, literally
anybody could be under your bed at any point.
Holy shit. Wow. Good luck sleeping tonight.
He's angry.
He's mad at you.
He's real angry.
Go watch a little movie called Little Monsters, and you know what I'm talking about. All right, Mad Max, Fury Road, Nux, and a Morton Joe from Vertigo Comics, number one.
Oh, cool. That sounds like a weird name.
this comic is great. I don't know how many of you guys have seen Mad Max Fury Road out in the audience.
All right.
Yeah.
Politely raising their hands.
Yeah,
all right.
That's fine. You guys at home heard them raising their hands. It's awesome movie. Really great. I didn't know what to think going into this comic, but it's excellent. The art is great. The stories are great. They work with George Miller, the creator of Mad Max, and they tell two backstories without actually, I feel, giving too much away about the characters, which is very neat and a hard balance to strike. But you learn about Nux, which is Nicholas Holt's character. You learn about Immortan Joe, the villainous character. And it's great.
Pete, you didn't see the movie.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
You didn't?
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, it's good.
I'm sorry.
What did you think of the comic?
Why don't you see movies on time?
Fuck you, first off. You can't give me shit about movies. You just saw Captain America 2, you piece of shit. So, thank you, audience. Thank you. I appreciate that. They had my back on that one. So, reading this and not seeing the movie was great, but I had questions about how this would, like, I was like, oh, is this going to be the, is this Nux guy the main character? And then Zell was like,
it's called Mad Max, not Mad Nux.
Well, I don't
very
know.
Very similar.
Maybe that's it's true. A young very Nux similar. That turns into Mad Max.
Yeah, yeah right, fair. Let's just change a couple letters.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I felt a little lost. Also, Word Burger drove me a little insane.
There's so the framing for the story is one of the people who lives at the Citadel, where Immortan Joe, the villain, is based, is a storyteller. He's a recorder of history and explains that all books were destroyed when the end of the world came. So instead, they tell stories, which they call word burgers. Which is kind of amazing and hilarious and ridiculous.
It makes sense. That's what a story is.
There's also
stories are not a word burger.
It is. It's like you have this go through the beginning, which is the bun, and then you get to like a tomato, which is like a character, and then and then an onion's a character, and then a condiment is like something happens between them.
What?
And then you get to the meat, which is when shit gets real messed up. And then it ends in a nice bun. Boom. Story.
Yeah, I think that summed it up. You guys saw Mad Max. What did you think of the movie?
It was amazing. And one of the things I appreciated most about it, which actually you mentioned the comic now is giving a lot of the backstory, is I really respected how the director just dropped you into the world. And in terms of world building, ritual, language, you weren't provided with a lot of backstory. And I think that shows tremendous amount of faith by the director in the audience, and I didn't want things explained, you know, without giving too much away to anyone who hasn't seen it, because you should absolutely see it. My concern actually with this comic is it kind of revealing too much?
Well, I don't think it is. One of the cool things about it is, without revealing too much about the movie, Immortan Joe, for example, they never show his face the entire time. Most of the time he's heavily shadowed. Most of the time he's in the background. It really just reveals how he took over the Citadel, and that's it. Mm-hmm. But like the movie, it starts in the middle and ends pretty much where the movie begins. Same thing with the Nux story. It gives you a little more of a touch of his story, but you still have this whole world to explore. I think definitely see the movie before you read this because it's a richer experience, but it's great.
I couldn't agree with you more about the way it was just like badass filmmaking. Just being there's a character missing a part of their body, and I won't spoil it too much, but in any other movie, they'd be like, oh, yeah, I lost this. It was like a whole thing, and here's what happened. And then there'd be something where it's like, if only I could use that part of my body I'm missing right now. It would be so helpful. Yeah. And instead, it was just like, no, this is the fucking world. It's a mess, and this is where we're at. It's so good. So well done.
Yeah. So if you did see the movie already, you liked it, pick up this comic book.
Yeah,
I think
definitely
it's great.
As a follow-up.
I was just going to say, but besides all of that, it was so visceral. Like, everything was told through action and not just explosions and people getting their bodies destroyed and all that, which is all great and it's loud, but everything, you really get a sense of the character through every specific action, and there's so much specificity to all of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Apparently, Miller had a backstory for every single character on the set, so every actor knew exactly where they were.
Even music guy?
I'll tell you. Since you see the movie, you know the guitar guy, the insane flamethrower guitar guy, I interviewed the production designer about that for MTV News because I thought it was the craziest part of the movie. And they have a very well worked out backstory for him. His name is the Doof Warrior.
No, it's awesome.
And his whole thing was that everybody has their skills and everybody has their things they could provide. The only thing that he could provide was amazing guitar skills. And they're like, well, we got to keep you.
Bring him! He's great!
And they were saying that with every war, with every army, there's a little drummer boy, right? There's somebody in the background who's pumping up the troops. So because this kid was so amazing at guitar, they stuck him in front of that, and they just had to make it bigger and better. The last little detail I'll mention that blew my mind, everything on that Doof Warrior truck, from the speakers to the guitar to the flamethrower, all worked.
Yep. Yeah.
That's cool. They set it up, and it all worked.
The production of this movie is insane. The fact that it's all like built stuff is, yeah, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Cool. Well, cool. If you like that, pick up the comic book, and that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. It is time for our next section, which is my favorite section, because I get to come out and talk to you guys. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
So, here's what you guys need to do. You need to come up with a question either for one or two of these amazing guests, or any of us, and we can get some free comics. Yep. You just need to raise your hand and ask. It could be literally anything. Geek stuff, nerd stuff, whatever you like.
Life advice.
Yeah, life. If you need like dating advice or whatever, we're there for you, I guess.
We live.
Seem super excited.
I like how he said what's
your name,
sir? Or geek stuff.
My name is Pablo.
Hi, Pablo.
Hi,
what's
Pablo.
Your question?
Hi, Pablo.
Hello, everybody. I would like to ask, what do you think of the reaction of the season ender for The Flash?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's not asking what our reaction is. He's asking what we think the reaction was like.
Like, you want us to react to the reaction.
Yeah. I enjoyed how people reacted. They tweeted a lot.
Yeah, a lot
there
of
were Facebook
articles,
posts.
Reviews.
There were articles, yeah.
I loved all the smiles. You know, like when everyone watched
it's
it.
It's just nice
smiled.
To see people finally
can
happy.
We answer his fucking
and
question?
The tears?
No.
I thought it was great. There was a
there's a butt coming along, and this is
there was a lot of melodrama in this episode.
Fuck you!
And there's when people were tweeting, I'm crying through this episode. I was like, what? There was so much like, well, I should go talk to this character.
What crying? People, at what point were people crying?
Are you kidding me?
I swear, a lot of people were tweeting about crying.
No.
Yes, I was tweeting about crying.
Yeah, exactly. Like this old.
You were?
Yes. I'm sorry. Okay, wait. Hold on. We're shouting a lot, so I want to take a quick step back and just ask a serious question. Are you guys dead inside, or what's going on?
No,
I'm not. To think I have a rich inner life.
Okay. But there were so many parts. Can we spoil some of the parts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Both of Barry's conversation with his dads, with Joe West and his actual dad in prison, really got me. I thought they were emotional, wonderful scenes.
They were great.
The scene where Barry finally goes back in time, decides, okay, I'm going to try to stop my mom from being murdered.
Amazing.
He looks through the door and sees his future self being like, no, turn back silently. And he closes the door. I'm getting chills right now even talking about it.
I agree.
Completely emotional and heartbreaking.
Very good.
So what are you talking about?
Okay, so.
Almost literally everything else in the show, in the episode was like, I was like, why are you talking like this? Everyone was acting very crazy, I thought. I liked the end, though, and I really liked
what?
All the
I hated points. The end. I loved everything to the end.
The end was
bullshit.
What end? What end are you talking about?
The end where he's running on pieces of something.
That was fucking awesome.
That's not an ending. That's a No, that's like a,
There's actually a term for it. It's called a cliffhanger.
Yeah, fuck
no,
that.
And there's going to be more episodes, Pete.
No.
Yes.
There can't be.
No, they're going to follow up on that.
Ran into a goddamn black hole.
There's going to be.
He's dead.
There's going to be.
The guy died.
There's going to be.
Why are people happy?
I guess we're going to follow the adventures of the black hole as it goes into those other people.
I guess so. Or we follow the pieces that he stepped on because there's going to be no Flash.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I would love to watch The Adventures of the Black Hole, by the way.
Just
who murdered my mom?
I did love the part where he was there and his mom was like just right there and he just closed the door. I was like,
holy fucking shit. And he had a nice
moment.
It was great.
That was great. I don't know. All the stuff with Harrison Wells was awesome. That final fight, him jumping out of the wormhole and punching through the time sphere into the Reverse Flash was amazing. This is the most comic book show we have ever had on TV,
and they crushed it. And that's what I think, like, even the melodrama.
Most comic book show?
It really is.
Name one more.
What does that mean, though?
It just means, like, it's the action, the way the characters talk to each other, everything is very comic booky.
It's most like a comic book.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Even the melodrama is comic booky, but like the part that really drags me is Iris. She's such a bummer, I think, on the show.
Wow.
I want her to be better. I want the way she's used to be better.
I feel like we're
way ahead of her.
I haven't been the hugest fan of the way they've treated her character over the course of the season, but I think once she finally discovered what Barry's secret identity was, that he was the Flash, once she started to become part of the
Barry
team.
Barry stopped lying to her face, fucking asshole.
But the last couple of episodes, she started getting involved. She started doing stuff. She started being part of the main plot rather
then shunt it off to the side. And I really enjoyed her a lot more. And I'm excited to see what they do with her the next season, because particularly what happens with Eddie is obviously a... What?
What do you mean next season? He's dead.
I'm saying what happened with Eddie.
A lot of people, a lot of regular people who aren't sociopaths, when something happens, they remember it and feel something. Oh, so, like, it has repercussions.
I just felt like that was a bullshit ending. You run into a black hole and you're going to run the credits? Fuck you. Give me a fucking ending. Don't give me the...
Pete, how do you read comics? Every end of a comic is a non-ending. What do you
Not
want?
Every end.
You want like the writer to come out and be like, Pete LePage, don't worry. No. Everything's going to be cool.
No, I want an ending. I don't want the shot of them just kind of like, oh, he's running a black hole. I'll see you in a couple months, maybe.
Yeah, it's...
So what do you do? What do you do every night when you go to sleep? Like, well, this day sort of is open-ended. I got to go to sleep and wake up and start another.
Come to a close before I can go to
sleep. So you lay in a coffin every night? Like, well, I could die here. Good night.
Pete wraps up all of his plots by the end of the day.
That's right. That's how you write. You wrap things up.
Another season of Pete LePage. Have you guys been watching The Flash?
I watched my first episode of The Flash very recently. And because of Hulu, I started at episode 21 because it only like shows five at a time. So I know. Like, I enjoyed it, though. I thought it was good.
Watching a comic book, you can sort of pick up in the middle. Yeah.
You should just be able to jump in and have a sense of who the characters are. And, you know, I thought it was well made.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm about three quarters of the way through, so. Now I'm not going to bother finishing. Thanks.
Sorry, dude.
Hey, thanks for coming.
I was really tempted to get down off the stage and run. This subject came up because
as far as I
really was looking forward to this, because everybody on my Facebook and Twitter feed were all talking about crying and how good it was, and I was really...
Well, as far
really
as
looking
I,
forward to that.
As far as I understand the show, you can sort of come and go as you please, so do whatever you want. Live above the rules.
There you go.
I think if you do watch it, though, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get our next question. Absolutely anybody. You, sir, in the back, come on up a little bit.
From downtown.
From downtown. What's your name, sir?
Hey, I'm Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. What's your question?
Where's Psylocke in freaking Secret Wars? You know, all the fucking, you know. Captain Britain, his family's in there. Isn't Psylocke in their family?
Whoa. Very
Jerry's
targeted
fired
question
up.
From Jerry.
Jerry's right. fired up.
Great question. Where the question on everybody's lips, where's Psylocke?
Where's Psylocke?
Where's Psylocke? This is, I think, one of the big mysteries of Secret Wars, actually. I only read the first issue, but I definitely spent most of it wondering where Psylocke was.
Yes. We'll come back to the Psylocke portion. Are you not reading Secret Wars at all?
As some sort of
fucked up protest?
I am not reading Secret Wars at all.
Yeah, you do that all the time.
That's true. This is a safe space, right?
Yeah.
This is a safe space where you can talk about stuff.
Yep.
Up until 20 minutes before the show, I did not read a single comic book after Secret Wars number one for the past 2 weeks.
Wow.
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Because you were that upset for me.
I was that upset.
Wow.
Wow. That's so weird,
and man. And the fucked up part is he took that shit out on his kids, man.
He had them doing, like, a bunch of, like, one-panel activities. Where they're like, hey, run over here and then stop and say something.
Whatever you do, tie everything up in 30 pages.
This is an end of an arc, Penny. Psylocke will come around. There's so much going on in the nonsense Secret Wars.
Here, okay, well, I'll ask you because I did read the Wikipedia page because I thought we'd probably talk about it this week. So the second issue...
I'm sure the actual comic would be shorter. Yeah. Why would you go straight to Wikipedia?
Eventually, Alex is going to be like, hey, this is what I read this week. He's just going to give us links to different articles.
So the second issue, it's basically just they went from something that was total nonsense to becoming House of Doom.
Well, let me say,
I'm sorry, it's House of M, just to be clear. Instead of Magneto, it's Doom, and it's basically the same thing.
He's a bigger deal in this. We did have that big argument. I was like, I think the second issue is going to make a little bit more sense.
Nope.
I was incorrect. I was wrong about that. Yeah. Because the second issue only...
Here's another thing. Do you remember we talked about with the first issue where I was like, what the fuck? They got to the end of the first issue and you don't even fucking see Battle World? Are you fucking kidding me? So again, this is from reading the Wikipedia entry, but I'm reading the several paragraphs long description of this one comic book, and it got to the end, they were like, the Moloids tell Thanos, some people call this Latverion, some people call this whatever, New Earth. We call it Battle World. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You took two issues to get to somebody saying the words Battle World?
Let me be honest. It's a lot more like...
I didn't want to break the mic, so...
That was Alex sort of dropping the mic.
I don't want to misuse the equipment.
He was laying the mic on a lace doily. I will say that Secret Wars is a lot more like Convergence than I really want it to be. For sure, which is but I still believe in Jonathan Hickman as a storyteller, and I think we're going to get somewhere. I thought
so
A-Force was
issue,
good.
The next issue, oh, that'll be good.
A-Force was number one, was pretty good, and I think there is good stuff happening. It's just, it has the same problem as Convergence, where it's like, what? Why? When? Me? Us?
Why did I spend this money?
It's just too many questions, and it's hard to start a story in that environment.
Which I think is the difference between different media, because that's exactly what Mad Max Fury Road does.
You're
dropped into this world, and you just sort of go with this philosophy, and just sort of you're picking up the rules as it goes along. And when you try to do that in a comic book, it doesn't seem to have quite that same propelling velocity.
That's a great point, especially in a world where we need to know what the baseline is, because we know all these characters, but there's a change that's happened, and if we don't know what it is, we don't know how to take that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you need DERF to lay the base down.
Doof.
The DERF Warrior.
The DERF Warrior.
The DERF Warrior. He's the guitar.
Doof Warrior.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right. Yep. I think we need a Doof baseline.
Yeah, and I will say, instead of thinking of it as House of Doom, I actually thought of it as Game of Doom. To me, it looked very.
I think that's actually very accurate. It's like Doom, but Doom is he's like the last
Westeros. He's the whole thing that it's all built on top of.
He's like Aegon Targaryen. He's like the Doom that ran the shit.
Oh, man. I love the fact that you're talking about the most confusing comic book being published right now by referencing a character that doesn't actually even appear in Game of Thrones, the show, or the books.
If there's any place I could be like this, it's right here, all right?
It's a safe place.
It's a safe place to make a geek reference.
This is a safe place.
I read all the books and I read all the comics.
I think we can take another question. Anybody, you, sir, right over there, going to come over to you.
Two more.
All right. What is your name, sir?
Todd.
All right, Todd. What's your question?
Well, you were talking about Mad Max and how there were these great backstories to all the characters. I'm wondering from everyone on stage, what was a story that they read growing up that they really felt like there were great characters off stage?
Nice. Great backstories.
Well, the first book I ever read by myself was Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yo, that's me too. I was just going to say that.
How old were you?
I don't remember. I mean, like, super smart. Since I know that's what you're asking, you dick.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, I read it a year before you did it.
Like 21 is the wrong answer.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was a book Beyond the Kids, who we learned pretty much everything about in the book, if you never read the book. That whole world was existing for a very long time with a lot of history before you got there. And you don't learn all of it. You certainly don't learn about Aslan. You don't learn about the White Witch or anything like that. But you're thrust into the middle of that. And I think that's one of the things I really liked about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. They don't do any backstory on the fantasy world. It's all through the eyes of the kids, which I think is in that same way that Mad Max is. You see it through them and have to keep up with the story. And apparently it's all about Christianity.
Yeah, I sure learned that.
That must have been weird for you.
It was weird when I started reading it to my daughter recently, and I was like, oh, no. Yeah.
Whoops. Pete, what about you?
I don't know.
Like a stop sign you saw?
Where does it begin? Where does it end?
I'm having a hard time thinking about
your youth.
The first time that I really had like a great backstory that I fell in love with.
The Hardy Boys books I devoured when I was very young as well.
That's not a comic.
No, it's we're talking about books or anything.
Oh, okay.
Just what you read when you were young. Like the stop sign, directions on stuff.
Yeah, I didn't read directions. I read cereal boxes.
Oh, good. Well, like, I think about how great the Kix box was.
The Hardy Boys, the series that came about like when I was young was new, and it was like sort of youngified, and it did sort of have that. These kids are solving crimes now, less mysteries and more actual crimes. And that felt that way to me.
Cool. What about you guys?
So this was actually kind of a cheat because I read Huckleberry Finn before I read Tom Sawyer. So even though there was, in fact, a precursor. Yeah.
Spoiler, Mark Twain.
Yeah, I know, seriously. But I remember Huckleberry Finn finding that world incredibly rich and just being really taken by the character when I was a kid.
Cool. Nice. Chris, what about you?
My memory is terrible. All I remember is comic books, and that is, it's all built on that. So, like, diving into something at one point, being like, oh, who's this weird-looking character, and then finding some earlier issue that has that character and has a little
so
bit more.
So, for you, would you say, like, Secret Wars number one or something like that?
Wow. That's one that'll stay with me. Almost as much as number two, which is cool. Worth it. But much better than the Wikipedia entry about it.
Yeah, to be fair,
it was a really good Wikipedia entry.
I'm going
to
say
an art to that.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy when I was a kid and I read that for the
that's
first
good.
Time.
Very good answer. Larger world.
Tip of the hat to you, sir. All right, you're going to get some free comics. And I think we have time for one more question. One more quick question from anybody in the audience. You're going to get some free comics.
Yeah.
You, sir, right over there, Mr. Kenny Cords. I'm not even going to pretend I don't know your name.
So I just recently caught up with Saga. And I was reading on the subway, and there's a scene with a robot birth, if you're familiar with the comic.
Yeah.
And I was staring at it for a long time, trying to figure out what it was, and then realizing what it was, and then looking at everybody around me and being very embarrassed, and wondering who was looking at me, looking at this very large picture.
Were you on the train?
Birth. Yes, on the train, in public.
You're guaranteed to get a seat, by the way, if you read comics on the train. Just a free...
Did you think this was audience confessions?
No. So what I'm asking is there ever a time where you're reading a comic book in an area where you realize maybe not the best place to read it?
For many years I worked in restaurants, and I would read I would work a lunch shift, and there would be no customers, so I would read comics at the side station, and all the busboys would come up to me like, you reading your porno comics? Why are you reading these porno comics? And I was like, they're not, look, I know, it's just, it's not why I read them, but some issues have that. And
Yeah, Saga is bad like that. Every time I've tried to read Saga on the
Saga,
train.
Saga, I learned very quickly, don't read Crossed on the train. That's a super bad idea.
Do not read Crossed.
Yeah, Subway is the worst.
Yeah.
For anybody who doesn't live in New York who's listening to this, Subway is legitimately the worst. Particularly because, like, I've learned not to read image comics on the subway train.
Yeah.
Because you just never know. You never know what you're going to get. What?
Which one?
All right. Literally all of them. Yeah. Every single last one.
I was sitting on the subway reading a comic, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't be reading this here. And I look over, and there's a mom and a kid. And the kid's like, can I have one of those? I was like, no. No. Yeah. I can't. Well, I'm so happy. Huh?
There was one time I was in a pizza place, and I was sitting down, and I was reading an issue of Invincible. And I got to it, and these two kids came over to me, and they're like, hey, what are you reading? And I looked out, and it's literally nothing but blood on a page, like an eyeball, and that's it. And I was like, literally, I'm not reading anything. I'm done with my pizza. And there was just a cloud-shaped bee.
Just reading what I love.
Once, during high school, I had gone to the comic book store during lunch, and my mom picked me up from school. The end of the day, and I was flipping through the comics, and it happened to be, if anybody remembers, Mike Grell and Dick Giordano's Green Arrow run. And literally flipped to a page where a splash page of a crucified stripper that had been beaten up and Green Arrow vomiting because he was so disgusted.
Right.
And my mom was like, so what are you reading? Ah!
And I think Green Arrow's
never asked me about comics. You know, again, she's read the first issue of Behemoth, and she's like, yeah, you know, I've seen worse.
She's
dead inside at this point.
Yeah.
Green Arrow's words on the page, I believe, are don't show your mom this.
So it should have been on the cover. I wouldn't know.
Swifty?
Sorry about that. I was actually on the 7 train on Saturday night, and I was reading Nailbiter. And there was a little kid, he might have been 6, sitting right in front of me, kind of peeking at the page and all its gruesomeness. And he looked horrified. part of me was really happy because I know he would have nightmares that night. And, you know, as a horror writer, that's kind of like the ultimate standing ovation is giving someone a nightmare. So I was a little bit proud, actually. So.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Proud father.
There you go.
Okay, there we go. You're going to get some free comics, and that's it for your audience questions. Yeah. All right, guys, it's time for our next section. For that, we're going to turn it over to my best friend, Pete LePage, for trivia.
Trivia! By the way, the Arrow finale was amazing.
We don't have time.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. Everybody deserves a happy ending, and that's how you end a series.
I don't want to get into it, but that ending was bullshit.
Fuck you, that was.
Fuck you,
no,
it was.
Why doesn't he get to ride off into the sunset?
This is why we don't do Pete's Arrow Corner, because you guys can't get along, and I don't watch it.
Somebody raise your hand. We got to do trivia.
Yeah, all right. So this is opportunity to win $25 free dollars. Who would like an opportunity to win $25 free dollars? Yes, you, first stand-up guy. Come on up.
All right, come on up. Here you go.
All right. Repeat your name for everybody.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jerry. What's going on?
Hey, Jerry. All right. Hey, audience, Jerry. Jerry, audience. All right, cool. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. If you get all three questions right, you win $25. So we're going to change things up a little bit. We're going to talk about who sold more comics. So I'm going to question you on which issue sold more. If you get all three right, you'll win.
All right.
So which issue sold more? Was it A, Star Wars number 1, or B, Batman number 38? Or was it C, did you see the Joker's ride in that cool Suicide Squad set video? I mean, that was sick, dude. It was so sick. So is it A, Star Wars?
It's got to be Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars number 1 sold more in Batman number 38.
Makes sense.
Not taking anything away from Batman because that shit was awesome. All right. Which sold more? Was it A, Darth Vader number 1, or B, Orphan Black number 1? Or is it C, too bad Deadpool is dead right now because Ryan Reynolds is really doing him justice. Cool.
So it's Vader, right?
No, it is B, Orphan Black number 1, sold more, which I'm surprised.
Holy shit, I'm wrong.
That hurts.
Yeah, yeah. If
that
you would have let me give you a hint, you would have said B. All right, last one. Which sold more? Was it A, Princess Leia number 1, or B, Star Wars number 3, or is it C, Bat Kid Rocks? So it's either A, Princess Leia number 1, pick that one, or B, Star Wars number 3.
Princess Leia?
Yes, sir. $25 is what you won.
Really taking down the Star Wars comics, Pete.
Yeah.
What do you mean
Pete,
taken down?
That was we've been doing the show for what, 8.5 years or so?
Yep.
That was the first time you've actually done trivia.
Yeah. That was legitimate trivia.
Yeah, that's crazy. Cool. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Well, let me ask you something. If I picked up all new Hawkeye number 3, would it have that bullshitsy war sign, or would it be its own separate thing?
It's its own separate thing.
Then that's what I'm picking.
Yeah. Nice.
Right, there we go.
Congrats, Pete. Yeah. Did you read the first two issues?
Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Sandman Overture number 5.
Very excited.
Yeah, I'm going to reread the first 4 because they're so rich.
Oh, la-di-da, I could read.
What?
Am I bragging about that? Is that putting something over you?
I don't know.
Is that a humble brag?
I could read 4 comics if I want to.
I don't know if you can.
I don't know.
You could read 4 Wikipedia pages.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Got me good. I'm looking forward to Chew number 49.
Yeah.
It's coming out. This is crazy because I think I went from not caring about that series to you guys talking about it all the time.
Yeah.
To you guys stop talking about it, and now it's at the top of my stack. Everybody.
Well,
wow.
Chew would have been my answer if Hawkeye was Italian.
So. All right, buddy.
Great.
Yeah, we could all read 4 comics if we want
to.
Way
to take ownership. 4 comics.
This comic is great. It's nearing its end game, so don't pick it up now. But it has gotten so tense while still being so funny and so original. It's awesome. Chris, what are you looking forward to?
Invisible Republic number 3. Gabriel Hardman's the artist. I forget the name of the writer. But it's fantastic. And it's a dystopian book, which I thought I was completely done with because there is no end to dystopias. But it's That's fantastic. True. And the writing is excellent. And Gabriel Hardman's art is always always awesome.
Cool. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Behemoth number 2 will be coming out, monkeybraincomics.com. And you know what's still available is Behemoth number 1, which will make number 2 that much more enriching of an experience. Please enjoy it. If not for my words, J.K. Woodward's art is amazing. You might have seen his work on City on the Edge of Forever, as well as the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover from, I don't know, a year or two ago. He's a fantastic artist, and he's doing, I'm a little biased, the best work in history. Not just his.
All right, Swifty, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
So I'm looking forward to the new Fight Club 2. I read a little sample on Free Comic Book Day, and I'm really curious to see, first of all, how Chuck Palahniuk is working in the medium. And just what I've seen, it's not just a writer who's experimenting. He actually understands the form. And, you know, it's such a compelling narrative. I want to see how he's going to enrich the mythology. And from what I gather, it involves pills and switching and personalities, and all that stuff is really interesting to me. So
cool. Great cool. pick.
And plug your stuff?
Plunder number 3 is currently out. It is wrapping up next Wednesday. So please visit your local comic shop. If it's not there, ask for it. You won't be disappointed.
Nice.
One quick thing I can say is, you know, you reminded me, Scuds McKinley is the artist. He's amazing. It's his debut. Get in early because that kid's going places.
Very good.
All right. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, our guest is Jeffrey Burundi from the creator of Oni Press's Odd Schnoz and the Odd Squad. Nice. So that should be super exciting. Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcasts and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous intuits, Emma Bell, Tommy Dollar, Craig Fletcher, David Kai, and Riley Trapp. We want to thank Chris for being on the show.
Yeah. Chris!
Swifty!
Swifty!
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Tony Reed, Craig Fletcher. Good night!
Thank you, everybody.